Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Joanna, and I will be your conference operator for today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the second quarter 2016 and financial results. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. And if you would like to withdraw your question, please press the pound key. Thank you. I will now turn the call over to Mr. John McCann, President and CEO of May Security International. Sir, you may begin your conference.
Thank you, Joanna. And thank you for joining our call today. Please visit corp.mace.com under the Investor Relations tab, under Transcripts and Presentations, as we have loaded a PowerPoint highlighting the second quarter and the year-to-date results for the company with the period ending June 30th, 2016. Now I'll turn the call over to Carl Smith, our CFO, to read a forward-looking statement and go through the second quarter and year-to-date financial results. Carl?
Thanks, John. Certain statements and information during this conference call will constitute forward-looking statements and are based on management expectations and information currently in the possession of management. When used during our conference call, the words or phrases will likely result, are expected to, will continue, is anticipated, estimate, projected, and intend to, or similar expressions are intended to identify forward-looking statements. Such statements are subjected to certain risks, known and unknown, and uncertainties, including but not limited to economic conditions, limit of capital resources, and the ability of management to effectively manage the business and integrate acquired businesses. Such factors could materially adversely affect Mace's financial performance and could cause Mace's actual results for the future periods to differ materially from any opinions or statements expressed during this call. I will now comment on our second quarter and 6 months ending June 30th, 2016 financial results. After I'm finished, I'll turn the call back over to John McCann, our CEO, for a presentation, and we will then open the lines for questions. I'll first discuss the quarter compared to last year. For a visual on my sales and gross profit commentary, please reference the analysis that John mentioned at the opening of this call and made available on mace.com. Second quarter net sales were $2,031,000 compared to $1,896,000 for the second quarter of last year, an increase of $135,000 or 7.1%. This increase was mainly attributed to $830,000 in sales through our consumer channel, a $312,000 or 60.2% increase, offset by $155,000 or 16.8% decrease in sales through our sporting goods channel, with sales of $770,000. The sporting goods decline is mainly attributed to timing, as year-to-date sales are up. Margins in both sporting goods and consumer channels are up for the quarter. International demand remains strong for the second quarter, with sales of $252,000 compared to $202,000 in Q2 of 15, an increase of $50,000 or 24.4% on relatively flat margins. Sales through our tactical channel for the quarter totaled $118,000 compared to $189,000 in the second quarter of 15, a decrease of $71,000 or 37%. The decline is attributed to $95,000 in royalty revenue received in Q2 of 2015. Mace receives a royalty payment on a product called MPG grenades and dispensers, which are sold through a third party. In 2015, significant volumes of this product were sold to state departments, and 26 volume is expected to be nominal in comparison. Although profit margins through tactical channel were strong for the second quarter in 2016, margins were lower than last year due to the decrease in royalty revenue that I just mentioned. Direct sales totaled $47,000 compared to $32,000, an increase of $15,000 or 46%, and margins were lower as the company ran promotions discounting product to drive sales through this channel. Gross profits for the second quarter 2016 totaled $839,000 with a 41.3% gross margin compared to $837,000 and 44.1% gross margin for 2015. The decline in margin can be attributed to the high royalty received in 2015 and slightly higher freight costs that we incurred in the quarter. Selling, general, administrative expenses for the second quarter ended June 30, 2016 were $860,000 compared to $920,000 in 2015, a $60,000 or 6.5% reduction, continuing our trend to reduce SG&A expenses. The decrease is mainly attributed to a reduction in salaries and advertising, offset by increased expenditures in PR, IR, investor conferences, and variable commission expense. Interest expense for the quarter ended June 30th was $12,000 and related to the put option interest, which is mentioned in the footnotes of the financial statements that were posted the other day to the OTC and made available to you. Interest income for the quarter ended June 30th, 2016 was $35,000 compared to $69,000 in interest income in 2015, a decrease of $34,000. The decrease is attributed to a lower return on the $2.1 million in short-term investments and lower interest income on the security partners loan due to the decrease in principal that they're paying down. As a result, net loss before discontinued operations for the quarter ended June 30, 2016 was $37,000 compared to a net loss of $61,000, a $24,000 or 39.3% improvement over second quarter 2015. EBITDA for the quarter was a $21,000 loss compared to a $95,000 loss in Q2 of 2015, a $74,000 or 78% improvement. Adjusting EBITDA to include the $78,000 in income from discontinued operations and $44,000 in non-cash stock option expense, adjusted EBITDA for the quarter totaled $101,000. Now I'll do some commentary on the 6 months ending June 30th. Compared to last year. Once again, for a visual on my sales and gross profit commentary, please reference the analysis we mentioned that made available on mace.com. Net sales for the 6 months ended June 30, 2016 were $4,110,000 compared to $3,385,000 last year, an increase of $725,000 or 21.4%. This increase is mainly attributed to $1,530,000 in sales through our consumer channel, a $348,000 or 29.5% increase, and $621,000 in international sales compared to $283,000 last year, a $338,000 or 119% increase. Despite losing $99,000 in sales to Sports Authority, sales through our sporting channel totaled $1,604,000 compared to $1,541,000 for an increase of $62,000 or 4% over last year. Direct sales totaled $85,000 compared to $69,000, an increase of $16,000 or 23%. Margins were lower, again, year-to-date, as the company ran promotions discounting product to drive sales volume in both the first and second quarters. Sales through our tactical channel totaled $220,000 compared to $264,000 in 2015, a decrease of 44,000 or 17%. This decline, as mentioned in my Q2 comments, is attributed to the $995,000 in royalty revenue received in Q2 of 2015. Gross profits for the 6 months ended June 30th totaled $1,656,000 with a 40.3% gross margin compared to $1,389,000 and 41% gross margin in 2015. Gross margins in sporting and consumer were 3.8 points higher in 2016 compared to 2015 as a result of a strong mix and lower customer program expenses. Offsetting the higher margins in sales through our consumer and sporting channels was a decline of 18 points in gross margin on sales through tactical channel as a result of the $95,000 in royalty revenue and slightly higher freight costs year on year. Selling, general, and administrative expenses for the 6 months ended June 30, 2016 were $1,832,000 compared to $1,891,000 in 2015, a $59,000 or 3.1% reduction. The decrease is mainly attributed to $131,000 reduction in salaries. The company was also more strategic in advertising and marketing expenses, resulting in $139,000 or 49% reduction in advertising, and the advertising savings were offset by $113,000 in expenses for PR, IR, and participation in several investor conferences. Operating loss for the 6 months ended June 30th, 2016 was $252,000 compared to $573,000 in 2015, resulting in a $321,000 or 56% improvement. Interest expense for the 6 months ended June 30th was $23,000 compared to $25,000 in 2015. This is interest on the put option, which is disclosed in the notes to the financial statements. Interest income for the 6 months ended June 30th was $72,000 compared to $94,000 in interest income in 2015, a decrease of $22,000. The decrease is attributed to the lower return on the $2.1 million in short-term investments and lower interest income on the Street Partners note. As I mentioned, as the principal gets paid down, we receive less interest income. Other income totaling $312,000 in 2015 included a gain of $322,000 on the early retirement extinguishment of debt owed to Merlin. Net loss before discontinued operations for the 6 months ended June 30th was $203,000 compared to a net loss of $208,000, a $5,000 or 2.4% improvement over 2015. Income from discontinued operations totaled $84,000 compared to a loss of $34,000 in 2015 for a $118,000 improvement. And the net loss for 6 months ending June 30, 2016 was $119,000 compared to $242,000 in 2015, a $123,000 or 50.8% improvement. At this time, I'll make a few comments on the balance sheet at June 30th. The company's net book value was $8.3 million. Compared to $8.3 million at 12/31/15. Mace had $9.3 million in total assets, including $2.4 million of cash and short-term investments. Net inventory totaled $1,776,000 at June 30, 2016, compared to $1,601,000 at year-end, an increase of $175,000 or 11%. And this increase is attributed to building inventory for a significant early August promotion we have with a major customer. We had positive working capital of approximately $7 million and a current ratio of 7.5. Once again, the company has no debt at June 30, 2016, and there's no change in stockholders' equity at $8.3 million. NOLs at June 30th were approximately $60 million. With $1.1 million expiring in 2018, and the last NOL expiring in the year 2035. That concludes my review of the quarter and year-to-date 6 months, June 30th, financial result commentary, and I'll now turn the call over to John McCann, our President and CEO.
So thanks, Carl, and as evidenced by the numbers, we're in a very good position at Mace with everything that we've been able to accomplish in the past couple months and the past couple years. With that being said, it did take us a little longer to file our 2015 year-end financials due to a valuation issue that we had, but that was resolved favorably for the company, and so we were able to post both the 2015 financials, the first quarter financials, and now obviously the first half financials, which were pretty pleased with the results with a lot of work to go. At the same time, as we've talked about in the past, we have several product lines, Night Beams, Mace 911, and then several new product initiatives with our pepper spray line. Some of these I'll talk a little bit about in specific. Some of it we're working on some strategies. With regard to our Night Beams and our Mace 911 line, the POS sell-through has been underwhelming at the locations that it's been placed at retail, and it's a variety of different retail locations. So we're revisiting our strategies, our pricing, and our programs with our consumers with some of the feedback that we've gotten from some of our partners. There's a couple of initiatives that we're waiting to close along with these products that I think will help them grow in their both their sales and also with what's happening in the marketplace. With regard to some of the pepper spray products, I have to say, on a very small budget, we changed the handle, which made it more ergodynamic to use, easier to fire, easier to carry, and then also the new packaging has been very well received as we're reviewing our POS sales from all of our major customers, that it continues to bounce upwards. and we continue to find more placement and places for pepper spray. So as we talked about in the past with our different product lines, looking at expanding the Mace brand name beyond pepper, but also realizing there is still a lot of upward mobility within the defense spray category that Mace can achieve as we look towards the future of the company. One note, as Carl had mentioned, in our tactical division are made up of three major components. The first component is our defense sprays. Our defense sprays are doing quite well. We're getting more placement at law enforcement. We don't put out the list of law enforcement, as we've talked to a lot of law enforcement personnel. It doesn't help them with their decision making. It makes us somewhat vulnerable on a pickoff list from some of our competitors, because the segment of defense sprays selling to law enforcement is highly competitive. There's a lot of players in the marketplace. We are the brand. We have some unique promises that we go to market on selling, both with our foams, our gels, and our traditional sprays, and a wide variety of opportunities, both domestically and internationally. So we have added several new customers, and we continue to add new customers every day of the week. The next grouping within Tactical, which is one of the disappointments thus far year to date, is our TG Guard and what Carl referred to on our royalties arrangements. State departments, prisons, correctional institutions, and some private placements have been a little bit slower than we had liked. We anticipated it not being the banner year that 2015 was, but right now the implementation of many quotes and bids and offers out there have been slower than we had projected and what we liked. We do have an all-hands-on-deck effort in order to improve the results of that segmentation of our tactical division, because we do have some unique proprietary properties that we sell. They're very effective, very safe, and when deployed are excellent products. The last segment within the tactical is our munitions division. And unfortunately, as we kick-started this division in 2015, we've hit some bumps in the roads, both with some ATF issues that we've overcome, but now we have some production delays from our partner. So right now, we're not where we'd want to be within munition side, but we're feeling we're getting very, very close to the day that we will be able to be full service, less lethal, de-escalation products in our Mace Tactical division, made up of those three components. So recapping again, the defense sprays growing and continue to be healthy. TG Guard, I think we have some opportunities. And then really on the munition side, our less than lethal or de-escalation products, we really are stumbling out of the gate, but we still feel very confident that we will be able to do nice business within the segment. And the segment has a high ceiling for opportunity for growth. Talking about as we look forward, there are several new products that didn't factor into this quarter that we're launching. We have a new pepper gun. If you look at the presentation that we put out for the investor community on slide 7, slide 6 and 7 really talks about new opportunities within the marketplace that we're launching. There's several items that are in our exquisite line and our hot pink line, which are close proximity products that are stylish, easy to use, and very fashionable. We're also moving our entire line into our flip and grip category away from a twist lock segmentation, which we think will also have an added consumer benefit as we look down the road and a lot of our research shows. And then on slide 7, you can see our new Mace pepper gun. Our pepper gun sales, especially in Europe and in segments of the U.S., have done extremely well. So we took our current version of our gun, reimagined it, made sure that it was identifiable versus a firearm or a weapon, and we will launch this product in the quarter. All of these products have a strategic launch initiative with a hard launch at the 2017 SHOT Show. But there's several retailers in Europe, especially with the pepper gun that we will launch. We'll launch online, Amazon, and the Mace.com website, especially to get fit, feel, and feelings from the consumers so we can make some adjustments as we need to. Then with our exquisite line, our clutch and carabiner models, we'll take on the same strategy. We have a couple specialties, smaller retailers that will do some testing and bring in some product, and we'll be able to review and analyze that to make sure that we have the packaging, the instructions, and the guidance correctly, along with our partners at Amazon and Mace.com. So these items will add incrementally to our goal of our sales for 2016, and within our internal budget, we're exceeding our internal budget both on a top line and bottom line basis, more on the top line and almost dead on the bottom line of where we want to be, and we're very, very bullish on the year, as Carl mentioned, for us to hit and exceed our expectations for the company within the year. As Carl mentioned in his presentation, there is some timing issues. You know, the loss of TSA, which is the Sports Authority, and the sporting goods channel is a shame. But at the same time, we're growing with our top retailers, especially Dick's Sporting Goods. One of the initiatives that we had that we talked about earlier was additional placement within a Dick's store. And today, we're proud to announce during the third, fourth quarter of this year, we'll have double and sometimes triple the placement within a store. So not only will be in the lodge area, which is the hunting, fishing, outdoor area of a Dick's Sporting Goods store, will be close to women's shoes or the front end. A lot of this is dependent upon the store layout and the store manager's implementation, but we'll be double checking because Dick's is a great partner of ours, but we'll see some added value sales within those segments as we've defined different areas of the store that we feel pepper spray fits nicely into. As Carl mentioned earlier, some of the inventory that you see, the uptick in the inventory right now is based on a big win that we were able to achieve with our partner Lowe's Home Improvements. We are in approximately just under 600 Lowe's stores every day of the week. In this month, at the end of last week and this week, we've shipped out 48-count displays to 1,200 Lowe's Home Improvement stores throughout the United States. And we're very happy and excited about this program. Based on the POS sales that we had in the key-making kiosk and the key-making areas of the Lowe's store, the buyer is putting in what they call the racetrack or the runways of their major stores with 48-count displays. So there'll be four units divided out into 48 total units within each of these stores with Mace branding and a Mace specialty packaging in the stores. Along with that, Ace AutoZone. Ace has a big program. We did a container program with one of the franchisees of Ace, and he was taking an all-in efforts with our product lines, both a little bit domestically, but really in the Philippines, where we're going to be his number one promoted product during the third and fourth quarter of the year. And of course, AutoZone, again, we have several promotions planned in the fourth quarter that will continue to boost our sales. So looking at, in general, where the company's at, some of the new product launches are a little bit behind where we'd like them to be, but we're looking at the overall strategies and making sure that we have the right plans, programs, and also reach the consumers the way we need to. If you look at our core products, we're continuing to grow with some huge opportunities, both still in the pepper spray category, traditionally to consumers, and also in the tactical division, as we're finally able to launch munitions through our manufacturing partner. And one other big note that I'll end with is like the investor conferences we went to that we spent a little bit of money on the IR and PR, we feel are having some effect. We went to the market. We went to three different conferences. We've had some very good follow-up with some investors that we're going to continue to work with them. Not being able to fully disclose our financials hurt us, but now we're in a great position because it was a favorable valuation of the asset. We were able to now launch everything, and we are looking at the DOTC markets and where we should be and where we're going. But when you look at the company, the financial strength, the sales and marketing abilities, and the $60 million in NOLs, we think we're very nicely placed in the market to have the kind of year that we've all been expecting, and we really think we're moving from that turnaround phase into a true growth story. One other footnote is we had talked about before our building security surveillance division, which we moved over in our discontinued operations. We're close to an agreement to work with a third party on that segmentation, which would be beneficial to the company. And that's all I will say about it, but we'll have some more information, I hope, within the next several weeks about that transformation. And then very lastly, one of the things that to mention is security partners, Court Security, Select Security, and the Court Security, Select Security division has been funded with the Mace branded program. So the Mace dealer program is now a full go. They have full funding from Goldman Sachs. They, along with a small team from Mace, are working on the product lines, and we're very excited about the progress they've been able to make in a short period of time since the funding came through, that a Mace home security program will be launched by the end of the year through Court Security and Select Security. And I think that's another benefit to the company because it's yet another set of eyeballs on the company and also that branding out there to consumers that will allow them to not only see the Mace brand in consumers, see the Mace brand with law enforcement, but also see the Mace brand protecting somebody's home. And all these relationships, although they took time, they took effort, they're all now coming to fruition, which is a great benefit for the company. And then lastly, just to reiterate again, our brand awareness continues to stay high. Our brand satisfaction continues to stay high. We are still the brand leader within the consumer categories, and we will grow to be the brand leader in the tactical categories. So that's really it. Joanna, we can turn it back to you, and we can take some questions. We do have a hard stop at noon, so we'd like to get through as many questions as possible.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order for you to ask questions, you may please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Our first question comes from the line of Mr. Thurman Wallace, a private investor.
John, congratulations on reaching the milestone of an inflection point of finally turning to a growth company instead of the turnaround that has now been complete. Can you please, I have one question and one follow-up, can you please comment on how we can move to better IR and PR as it relates to our company, because we know that we basically have no fans in the stands, though I've been very pleased to see the volume over the last 3 days.
So, Thurman, thanks. I think one of the things is that at a board level, we've had the conversations about the same, looking at the different markets, looking at the decision the company made, which I think is the right decision at the time to go to the OTC pink market. We've been challenged by our chairman to say, okay, what is the right market within the OTC to look at? What are the right costs? What are the right value equations to come back to the board and say, okay, here's where we think we could trade it on, which to your point, I think would have a positive effect on the company. Then the other thing is through the three strategic investor conferences we went to, although I have to say, Cavaliers winning the championship on the day of the Midwest Conference kind of put a damper on it because there was 1.5 million people for the parade and less people at the conference. But the other two conferences were very well received, and there's a lot of good follow-up we have from that. Now that we have, you know, the 6 months ending June 30th financials out and last year's financials, and the comparables are very favorable for the company and the trajectory of the company, I think that will also have a doubling effect on what we're able to do. And then lastly, there's always those strategic opportunities that we continue to evaluate. You know, companies that might make sense with the Mace brand, companies that have some complementary products that will really allow us to bring the Mace brand out. Some of the findings that we have from some of the products and the partnerships we did is we do have to be strategic to make sure that they're the right premise in order for us to have success.
Okay, and then the follow-up to that is I appreciate you attending investor conferences, and you might just want to jot these down so you can respond to them. I would now like to see you even get more involved in investor conferences. I would like the board that has been very conservative, and now that we are a growth company, to consider a company repurchase program. Of course, insider market purchases is something that each individual has to decide, but some of your board members own very, very little stock. And I strongly suggest you go to the OTCQX and move away from the peak sheets as sort of being the wild west of stocks. And just want to know if you think we will see a philosophy from a new philosophy from the board as it relates to spending money, like Taser does. And one follow-up comment, I know one conversation with one board member, I was saying that I thought we ought to trade over a dollar, and he said that that would be 60. That would be a $60 million market cap, and I think we have to pull out the Mace brand name for that, which I've been told is $30 million, and then we've got the $60 million in tax loss carry forwards, which basically would wipe out those sales. So Taser trades at 7.35 market cap to sales. And lastly, if you would comment on the need to get the stock up with the overhang that the market cap's just 20 some odd million dollars, and with a $1 or $2 market cap, when you talk about strategic opportunities, that would really give us an opportunity to really move forward. So hate to be so rambling with that, but I would like for you to comment on each matter.
Sure. So with regard to the repurchase, I think, I don't know if we're right there yet, but I wrote it down and we'll bring it up at the board meeting. Mm-hmm. Insiders, right. Obviously, we still have a blackout because there's something that we're working on internally that would be considered inside information. So it might be a little while before board members and management can get back into the stock, but we're working quickly on a couple initiatives that we think will be very positive. But based on legal outside counsel advice, that it'll be hard for insiders to do anything right now. And with respect to the markets, we are talking to the OTC. They've given us some good analysis of the different markets to look at as a next step. I think there's some opportunities that we will discuss as a board and take the advice of our chairman. With respect to the stock, I think we're all in agreement that we would definitely like to see that as an opportunity for the company to continue to increase, and what the right evaluation is to be determined. But I definitely think that we have some great opportunities, especially now, because we're talking about growth and strategies versus cleaning up and issues. And I think that's always a positive thing, because stressing again the packaging, some, not all, the new products performing, beyond our expectations, and every company launches products with the hopes of everyone being a home run. Not every product is a home run, but I think we have some great strategies behind some of the products. And some of the products, as I had mentioned earlier, we have to re-strategize because the premise or the sales or the value proposition to the consumers is not hitting what it needs to be. But we do have your notes, Thurman, and we will definitely, and the board, as your point, is very good about listening in and pitching in as needed to make sure that we move the company forward.
Well, I thank you for taking my question. I'll get back in the queue. One thing that I did touch on that I don't believe you commented on was our IR and PR firm. I understand that we're trying to get on the Home Shopping Network, which I think would be one of the smartest things we could do, but I understand that we're having problems with the network, so wouldn't there be an IR PR firm out there that could easily get us on the home shopping network? Because I really haven't seen anything that our existing IR PR firm has done.
Right. Well, the IR PR firm really wouldn't help with the home shopping network. We have what we call representatives that are independent reps, as Carl had mentioned in his analysis. Our commissions are a little bit higher, but those are all variables for our sales efforts. We do have very good representations both at all three different shopping channels, and I'm directly involved in a lot of that, and there's a little bit of work to do in order to get our products placed on electronic shopping as a channel, but we would agree that we think it would be a great opportunity both for the electronic shopping purveyors and for the company to get that message out of empowerment, because everything, all the products we do, from our defense sprays to every product that we sell, is empowerment. So, but we are in agreement, but the IR PR firm really, it won't sway an HSN or a QVC on a purchase. It's a value proposition, and then it's legal things that have to be overcome at both those, but those are both opportunities, Thurman, and we're in alignment with you that we think those are great opportunities for the company.
Thank you for taking my question, and congratulations again.
Thanks.
Okay, your next question comes from the line of Mr. Don McDonald from Consilium Global.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for being on the call.
Couple questions. First of all, your net revenues for the year-to-date is up 21.4%. Do you think that is sustainable going forward, and what are the primary drivers of that?
Sure. So we do think that it might not be at 21%, but we do feel that double-digit growth is sustainable in the near-term future. Two big reasons is our expansion and our success rate in the international markets. So traditionally, we had sold Europe. Now we're selling beyond Western Europe into Eastern Europe. We have our first orders for South Africa. We've expanded closer to the Eastern Europe, and we see some real true opportunities there. If you look at the UK situation, if, you know, some opportunities there, they pepper spray as it stands today is not legal for consumers, but we make a product called Stopper Red that seems to be making some nice inroads. So it's a non-irritant red dye that would mark a would-be assailant in those markets. Then in the consumer markets, we think there's some huge opportunities, especially our tactical and our traditional consumer markets. So we've expanded into what we call big box or your home improvement, and we're seeing some nice success, and we're not in all the segment, you're not in all the players within that market. So we see some opportunities there. And then lastly, because of Dick's great success in the management of their stores and their discipline of their stores, they are taking over several of the old TSA stores, so it's a little bit of a cannibalization this year, but then next year, because Dick's is an exclusive client, that we'll have some expansion into those areas. And then one of the last things we touch on, because like we're lightly treading on it, is as you look at the angst in the world today, you know, we are still, through our PR and through our efforts, positioning Mace as a thought leader between guns and no guns, because we think we hold that fertile ground and we're a great alternative to that. And as that becomes more of the public conversation, we feel we're well positioned within that segment. So international growth, still domestic growth and expansion of our product line, and then the changing dynamic of the legal, you know, Second Amendment situation in the United States are great opportunities for us.
I don't know if you noticed today's paper in New York, two very unfortunate incidents. One was the murder of a young woman jogger in Queens, and then I guess there was a New York City Google manager in Massachusetts while jogging also was murdered. What the paper said, it looks like the sales of what's called booby trap bras with Mace are now flying off the shelves. Are you seeing that yet?
Correct. So, yeah, now we're aware of both situations, and the tragedy is that about a year ago, Governor Patrick of the great Commonwealth of Massachusetts passed a law that allowed pepper spray to be carried. So now the acceptance level within the great Commonwealth is much higher. So people can carry legally pepper spray, whether it's 3 to 4 ounces, different formulations. And so you're seeing that. Unfortunately, in New York, pepper spray is very restrictive. It's very hard to buy. There's a lot of concerns. And so it is another opportunity that, you know, when New York revisits its statutes and its regulations, to look at that as an opportunity. And then Jennifer, who is the founder of Booby Trap Bras, when she was developing her product, she reached out to us and we were able to come together, and it's a nice arrangement. She makes a great product. It's easy to use. It fits on your arm, or for a woman, it can help with a foundation, but she makes a sleeve, she makes a wristband, she makes a wide variety of products that make it easy to carry and conceal your Mace-branded pepper spray as you're jogging. And we actually are scheduled to speak again this week because, to your point, on the media side and some other things, there's some opportunities that we're going to take advantage of. But she makes a great product, and we make a great product, so it's a great marriage.
And one last question for me. Gross profit year to date up 19%. Is that sustainable?
Yes. We've made some things. We've made some changes both. So the new packaging is actually more cost effective. The new handle is more cost effective for the company. And we are not seeing the downward pressure on invoicing pricing. There's always efficiencies that would factor into that. Like, for example, international orders. We got flooded in January with some international orders that we spent a little more time putting together. But now we have a system in place that we think that both the sales side and the profitability side are sustainable. And like I mentioned, like Booby Trap Bras is a great example. That's a great partnership where she can take advantage of the Mace brand name. We can take advantage of some of her innovations and some of her great products. So thanks, Doc.
Okay, that's it for me. Thank you again.
Thank you, sir.
Next question comes from the line of Mr. Andrew Shapiro from Lawndale.
Hi, John. So if you could help expand a little bit further here, yes, we're at the inflection point finally, oft-delayed to hit a break-even, and we've done it with some nice growth. You've just answered some questions about how can we continue the growth. But you're talking about primarily, it sounds like, the pepper business, and that has a nice market opportunity. But the market opportunities we've talked about on prior calls with your tactical Mace Alert 911 and Night Beam safety wearables are market sizes that are equal or greater than your pepper side. And you have zero revenues in those right now. It sounds like you haven't done anything. So I'd just like to go down these three areas, if you could, and one by one here, and confirm and articulate what your strategy is to grow these products. So with respect, first off, with Night Beams, and we'll use a broader category, safety wearables, what is, you haven't had any sales for much from this, but then again, all I do is I see some website work and I see some tweets. What can you, or what's your strategy to grow this product to its market potential?
Sure. So generally on the wearable side, we haven't had the success, and then I'll talk about Night Beams in a second, but on the wearable side, we haven't had success. We've entered into several agreements for different products, whether it be tracking chips, et cetera. None of them really have taken off in the marketplace. So you look at, is it the market or is the consumer not 100% ready for it? We had talked about the Defender, which is a great product. It still hasn't launched, even though we have some relationships with the folks launching it. With regard to our Night Beam side, we do have sales within the segment and across the board from tactical to general consumer. As a percentage of our sales, they're still small. I would say they're under 10% of our total sales year to date. The problem being, Andrew, is we have to refocus and relook at our strategy and working with several of our retailers that picked up the product. For example, Pep Boys, who we have Night Beams in every one of the Pep Boys stores. The POS sales are not to the expectation. Some of the feedback back from the consumers and the accounts we're reevaluating and re-strategizing on it. Some of the other accounts that we have talked to about the product in the segment have quite honestly flat out said we're not interested in the segment, even though we think it has some potential. So in regard to market size, the market size for defense sprays continues to grow. So some of these might have a higher cap today, but we shouldn't diminish the fact that defense sprays could have a market cap greater in the future. With regard to Mace 911, same type of situation. We have some direct selling. We have a company, CVSL, that does party planning, and they actually do Mary Kay style product placements. We have not seen the sell-through that we needed to see with regard to the product. We have it at some grocery and drug accounts. We're working with some pharmacies to put it in because we love the premise. We think it's a great product. But once again, a lot of the return orders off of the initial base are based on the POS sell-through at the account level, and we have to re-strategize because we're not seeing the bounce that both the account, the consumer, and the company anticipated.
John, can I interrupt before we get on to the tactical and munitions? Both
sure.
Night Beams and Mace Alert, you've described your strategy as kind of a retail push, rather than a demand pull-through, advertising to
the
consumer. I just saw your Mace Alert 911 was just recently, I'm seeing tweets on it from you, but I'm seeing tweets now that you price it at $100. I mean, at $100, a one-time $100 purchase for a device that can call directly through to 911 anywhere where there's cell coverage for grandma or my mom or whoever, has got to be able to knock out Life Alert in a heartbeat with its recurring payment model, except you guys are not marketing this to the consumer, and I know it costs some money to do it, but you got to spend some money to make money instead of wasting money with IR, and I don't know where the PR is going, is that Mace Alert 911 product should be flying off the shelves, and there should be massive demand at $100 for a device like that. Are you not finding any pull-through on that? I know it was priced at $200, and now you got it at $99.99. It should be flying. It's a one-time sale.
Yeah. Some of the strategies we can't talk about publicly, but we are working on direct response style campaigns to bring the product to market. Once again, some of the testing does not hit the metrics that it's flying off the shelf. I've been in the infomercial world. I know the cost per call, cost per order, MER, GRPs that you have to generate. And Andrew, we agree. We think it's a great product. We did the deal. We like the people that made the product. We are re-strategizing how we can make it fly off the shelves because today, through direct response testing and retail testing, it is not where we want it to be.
So
we're not giving up. We think
question,
it's a great
can
product.
Can you articulate a strategy? Do you have a strategy?
I can, and we have a strategy, but I'm not going to do it publicly because that would be detrimental to the company, Andrew.
Fine. Let's move on then. If that's the reason, then I'll back off on that, and I want to move on. Munitions. You just talked about We have had ATF requirements, rules changes, things that required us to store and to properly handle the munitions in order to get the permitting and the licensing and to be able to do it. That's taken a lot of time. It took longer than you had hoped for. I don't know if we're already in a lease agreement and now we have fixed costs, but you mentioned today on the call that now there's issues with the partner in production. Can you expand a little bit about what that is and the time horizon for and the likelihood that production issue will be overcome and when the broader line of basically consumable non-lethal or less lethal munitions will be a revenue line item for MACE.
Right. So we have no hard costs associated with it. We are ready with to jump into the hard costs as need be with the lease, with all the ATF requirements. We feel we're in a very good position there. The problem that we have now, because some of the delays related to the ATF, is actually a demand issue. Our partner, who we know very well, has greater demand for his products than he has capability of producing. So now it's we're negotiating with him as how we can slot in production to make it effective into this calendar year. There's a great potential due to his capacity constraints and demand, especially his demand in Europe, that it might slip a little bit further. With that being said, we also have teed up two or three other suppliers that we're qualifying as we speak to see if we couldn't get in motion these consumables, which is, I think, is a good phraseology for the tactical munitions segment, going a little bit quicker. So with that, we'll give more advice as we have it, but it's definitely a demand issue today and a capacity constraint from our partner.
Okay. Now, with the night beams on, we'll call it the industrial commercial bulk side, what progress have you made getting these products, such as your LED safety vests, into corporations and safety workers, et cetera, beyond Cleveland's Quicken Loans arena?
So right now, it's one of the things that I'll parse my answer, because some of it gets into strategies, costing, and defining the product a little bit further. We have several large corporations that we have quotes out to, but we're not seeing the momentum. And a little bit of it, just, you know, peeking into it, is that we're selling something that is a multi-use. Some people in the safety vest category view it as a disposable. So even though the features, benefits, and quality of our product are far superior than their product, they think, wait, if I can buy one for a couple bucks, I throw it away, I'll give them a new one, that's a better promise. So we're running some ROI to show them that this has better quality, longer lasting, and over time, it's a better savings and a better value proposition for your both, it, whether it be a guard, law enforcement, correctional, or a corporation that has people that are at risk in different environments.
Okay. What exclusive accounts were added during the first and second quarters?
Really, most of the accounts that we added during the quarters were non-exclusive. Some of them were pickups that we took away from our competitors. Some of them were new accounts that we've added into the mix. But the majority, I'd say, is that we've now started to take quite a few customers from different suppliers and brought them into the MACE family. Eventually, with all of them, you would hope that you would gain some exclusivity because of our brand and our ability to produce the products that they need for the different individuals that they sell to.
But you've gotten into new accounts and just not exclusive yet, because you're now gaining and taking share. Have these new accounts sold through their initial inventory build, and what has been your reorder experience this quarter?
Right. Some of them it's hard to tell, but majority of them, I would say, we're in a very positive situation, that with the exceptions of some of our newer products, that their sell-through has been above their expectation. And then also within the segmentation, there's several accounts that have increased. We started with a test of, let's say, 20 doors. They've increased that to half the doors, and, you know, for example, like Lowe's, we've gone from 500 doors into 1,200 doors, and our goal is we'll be in all doors this time next year. So right now, I would say it's very positive, and you can see it in our results of our sales results. Just even peeking a little bit further, we feel we're going to have a fantastic August on top of a very solid first quarter and second quarter. So the tea leaves show that our third quarter should be just as robust as our prior two quarters.
Great. How do you address and keep control and manage risk on MACE's inventory levels? The day's sales, while down from prior years, still seem kind of high. Is that is this going to be the best we can do, or how do you keep the inventory fresh and avoid kind of what we had with the video surveillance inventory side?
Right. I think we can analyze it a little bit, but as we're adding new and we're adding some different, it you know, there's always those risks. I would say that we turn our, if you're in our warehouse today, we turn our product very, very quickly. So some of it is that we had packaging changes. We had box case changes. We've made some modifications. So you're going to see an increase in our supplies on hand for the different segments. And then some of it is we hold a couple exclusive SKUs for an account or two. One of the things that the company is undertaking, and we undertook it when I started, is a SKU rationalization that has already begun for the rest of this year in 2017 to say if 80% of the volume is coming out of these 20 SKUs, then we have to reevaluate these other SKUs to make sure that we keep our inventory and our expectations in line with our growth.
Right. Well, when you say you turn it quickly, I mean, my inventory calculations have this at 133 days. Your AR turns are at 68. Your AP turns are at 28, so your cash conversion's 175 days. That's still pretty high, and I'm just wondering if what's in the back of the warehouse, if what is the method you have to manage that risk and keep things fresh?
This is Carl. When we change products, going from a different packaging, we have a strategic rollover, rolling out of one product into another. So with regards to our pepper spray and our, you know, bread and butter type products, we do turn those a lot quicker. You know, some of the inventory that is maybe trending your calculation a little bit higher is, you know, some of the Mace Alert 911 inventory, which there's not a shelf life on it, but we got to get it to move. The Night Beams product, which is in our inventory that is doesn't have a shelf life, that, you know, we're working on the programs, as John iterated in his commentary, to move that inventory. So you have a couple of items that pull that calculation or skew it the other way.
Okay. So we will, I mean, we watch it. We want you to watch it. And it sounds like you got a program for which to deal with it. What is the sizable machinery equipment purchase that was made in the first half, and is that purchase providing the expected returns and payback for you?
So the increase in fixed assets, there's a couple items. You know, one is the tooling that we incurred the expense on remodeling and giving our pepper spray a different look, so that would be the increase there. And as John alluded to, that was well accepted in the marketplace with regards to customers accepting that. And again, they're talking about inventory, and we did a rolling change with that conversion and that new look, so it's not like we doubled up on our inventory. We rolled out of one and rolled into the other. And the other one was an automatic valve drop machine, which is scheduled for implementation in 2 weeks. And basically what that'll do is that'll increase productivity in the fill room with the elimination of one person on the rotary machine, so a win-win situation there. So third and fourth quarter, we'll start to see some increased production and lower direct labor costs in that area.
Okay, and last question, I'll back out into the queue if there's time to come back. But you had a wave of investor presentations. I think it helped you put together and articulate a strategy and a presentation. You've taken a little bit of hiatus, which has provided you now the time to put out on the table financial numbers and, more importantly, a positive cash flow and growth ramp. What programs or what investor engagement do you have on the calendar and plan for the rest of the year, the next 4 months, if any?
Right now, I think we're in talking stages with the board on those next levels. I think a couple of the callers who are on the call today were the result of the investor conferences that we attended. And then also, the board or the chairman of the board had asked management to look at the QX, OTC QX, because there's some features and benefits on some virtual marketing assets that they could make available. So if we make the switch from the pink to the QX, I think there's some added opportunity on the investor side too.
Okay. Well, I'll back out in the queue. I think the main thing you got to do is you got to put some more gross profit growth on the table, and I think you probably got to spend some money to accelerate and to widen and ramp out your revenue growth, which means you got to grow that gross profit a little higher than what SG&A probably has to move up with.
Thanks.
Thank you, Andrew.
Sir, we do have a question again from the line of Mr. Terman Wallace.
It's nice to see Mace make a new 52-week high today. I don't hear many investors talk about the stock price, but I think we're so far undervalued. I'm glad to see that hopefully some of these investor conferences and other things that you're talking about, John, will move our stock price up, because I, as an investor, still judge a lot by your report card being the price of the stock. Thank you.
Thanks, Andrew. This is Thurman, sorry. So I think we're at 12 o'clock. I think if there's maybe one more question, Joanna, then I think we can wrap.
Okay, as of the moment, sir, we don't have any questions.
Okay. Well, once again, we want to thank everybody for participating and really stressing again that the company is in a good position. We have $60 million worth of tax loss carryforwards. We're seeing positive growth momentum, and we feel with some of the changes and strategies that we'll have in place, we'll see continued growth and margin improvement as we move forward. So I want to thank everybody. And always, if you have further questions, please don't hesitate to contact the company.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.